This podcast was recorded in June 2016, just before the EU referendum.
Welcome to Helpful Social Work. Social work has the power to change people's lives for the better. This podcast aims to help you learn, think, and act with integrity, so people who need social work get help that will transform their lives. I'm Jo.
And I'm Jerry, and it is nice to spend some time with you talking about social work.
Yes, I think there's lots around at the moment for us to be thinking about, both as a profession and also just what's happening nationally and, all the landscape we're in, I guess. I'm thinking lots about the in-out vote and all those kinds of things. So, yeah, it's good to come together and particularly to be thinking about reflection, which I believe is what we're doing.
Yes, so that's the topic for today, critical reflection, and it is something that's discussed quite a lot, possibly not thought about all that deeply. So hopefully our contribution will be helpful. So I'm going to start off talking a bit about analysis and intuition and how we use those as part of our critical reflection. So they're both really important mechanisms that we can draw on for reasoning, because we are both rational and emotional beings. So we're able to use both our intuition and our analysis to make sense of the world around us. And one of the things we've talked about is that emotions can be seen as unhelpful in social work because sometimes people confuse understanding emotions with being emotional and think that when you talk about using emotions, you're talking about being emotional and letting emotions kind of rule you. And actually what we need to do is draw on emotions as part of the information that we use to understand what's happening. So we have intuition, which is a kind of instinctive grasp of the meaning of something. So when facts are a bit scarce or time is short, intuition is really helpful for us to get a quick understanding of the picture. It also helps us to empathize, using that instinctive human understanding of other people. However, it is really liable to be influenced by prior experience or strong emotions that we've had in the past, and it can lead us down the wrong path and take us off track. So we use analysis to break down what we know into the different components and then weigh them up and test where each part comes from and what it means. And that helps us to understand the picture that's emerging and to look at what we know and where the gaps are, rather than just running with a theory that our intuition presents to us. And we also use the analysis to understand the intuitive response that we have.
Yeah, when I think about analysis and intuition, I think of a boat, actually. And I think we can imagine the social worker as the captain of the boat that's sailing on a sea of emotions. In the boat, we gather the people we serve. And to balance the boat, we need to make sense of the emotions we are encountering. We do this by using our practice wisdom that comes from experience, values that we recognise in ourselves, and in the centre, to give us stability, our emotional wisdom. This is the wisdom that comes from tuning in to the emotions of ourselves and others and seeking to make sense of them. And that forms the bottom of our boat. And I always think that if you have those three planks firmly in place, your practice wisdom, your emotional wisdom, and your values, then you can sail safely and hold the people that you carry. However, nobody deserves to drift around on a sea of good intentions. We need people to be able to go somewhere. And the boat only balances. It can't move until we add the power of the sail. And that sail is made up of our formal knowledge. It's gleaned through learning and our reasoning skills that we put into practice regularly. And it's when you bring all of these elements together that we can actually make progress. The different elements need to be integrated. We need to use our analysis and intuition together. Our intuitive response gives us clues through triggering emotions and memories of previous experiences, making us alert to responses of others. Our analytical reasoning helps us to unpick this and to answer the question, what does this mean? We need to make sure that our intuition and analysis are in balance, we need to be using them deliberately, deliberate practice the whole time. I often say to people that if you haven't actually thought carefully about your experiences and strove to make sense of them, that you're practice lucky, not practice wise. I think when someone is ignoring or minimising either their emotions or their reasoning, what we need to do both as colleagues and as supervisors is to patiently draw this part out of them and encourage them to explore the part that they're resisting, or even sometimes ask them why they're leaning on one or the other too heavily. It's that idea of the rounded practitioner we're looking for.
Yes, and a way of ensuring that we use both our analysis and our intuition is to deliberately practice critical reflection. So thinking effectively about our experiences. So critical in the sense of its original root, which is from the Greek krites, meaning a judge, rather than the negative, I'm criticising you. And a really helpful way of critically reflecting is to use Kolb's cycle. So Kolb talks about turning experiences into learning and drawing on different kinds of experiences. So drawing on observation and action, but also drawing on emotions and thinking, and deliberately using all of those experiences to turn into learning. And we'll talk about how you can do that in a second. But in terms of when and where we reflect, we as social workers, I think, do reflect most of the time. Generally, as we're going along, so we're turning what's happening now into learning that we can use for the next step. And that's kind of reflection in action. And it's really useful for helping us to process what's happening, as if we're a helicopter hovering over ourselves. But we do also need to stop and reflect on action. So take ourselves out of the immediate happenings and thinking carefully and in a really structured way, so that we can consider experiences without that pressure of the immediate observations, the immediate experiences, the immediate emotions, and so that we can effectively plan and be prepared for the next thing that comes along. So I think critical reflection is really crucial in helping us to be aware of what we're thinking and why, and to question it and to explain it to others, so that we can act thoughtfully and be defensible about what we're doing, and so that we can overcome some of the influences and biases that we carry with us. Because without pausing to do that thoughtful critical reflection, we can simply lurch from one happening to the next happening. And the other thing that critical reflection does is it allows us to kind of recover from the barrage of information that we have every day in busy social work practice. In the same way that if you were an athlete, you would take some days out of training or competing to allow yourself to recover.
Yeah, when you talked about Kolb, Jerry, and Kolb identifies that we can turn experience into learning in four different ways. We can reflect on our experience, reflect on our feelings, reflect on the meaning of what has happened, and reflect on what to do differently or the same in future. One of the things that I always say to people is that you need to work your way around Kolb's cycle and resist the temptation to jump from having an experience to doing something about it. And I think that movement from having to doing is a particular trap that social workers need to resist. And one of the ways we resist it is that we use something like Kolb's cycle to have a discipline about our thinking, to say to ourselves, well, what was that experience? What did it mean to me? What did it mean to the other people involved? Have I ever experienced something like this before? If I did, what meaning did I put on it then? How is it different or how is it the same? And really thinking about that experience before you move on to the next bit and then keep working around. So if you were to do an exercise now with us, you would use the reflective cycle and you would think about a recent event or a situation. It could involve a member of staff. It may be something that they did or said, or that they behaved in a way you didn't expect. And then you start with each part of the cycle. What happened? That's experience before, during, and after the situation. And then very importantly, before you go anywhere else, sitting with the emotion. How did you feel? How did the member of staff feel? Was there anyone else involved? How did they feel? What do you feel now when you're reflecting upon it? And really trying to sit with your emotions. This is one of the areas that people actually often resist. And I think it's very important to make sure that you've been as honest as you can before you move on to the analysis. And the analysis is where you really try and bring not only your practice wisdom, but also what research and knowledge and prior learning tells you about an event. What did the event or situation mean to you and the member of staff? What did it remind you of? What was unusual about it? What knowledge do you have about this type of situation? What does research tell you? And you want to really try and bring as much meaning onto it as you possibly can. After that, you're going to move through to action. And the action part is the bit we tend to like. And I think when you're doing a reflection well, remember that action doesn't need to be about solving someone else's problem. If you're doing this for yourself, then obviously you'll just ask questions like, what do you want to do in order to understand your role? What would the member of staff want you to do? What might the organisation want you to do? How can you make progress? And how can you use what you've learned with other people? If you're doing it for someone else, then you would ask them helpful questions. What you wouldn't do is give them any solutions, because one of the things about reflection is that you're wanting it to be generated from the person themselves. You're not wanting to solve someone's problems. COLB is not a problem-solving exercise. It's an exercise to help you gain wisdom, really, and to think as deeply as you can about an encounter that you've had.
Yeah, so when we do this with managers looking at a situation with staff, then even just in a 20-minute reflection, kind of 5 minutes on each area, they do tend to find it really helpful, don't they, and to generate some really good ideas from themselves and some really good learning for themselves. And I know that you've done it with social workers talking about case situations as well, haven't you?
Yes.
So it's helpful in lots of different situations. I actually do it myself sometimes when I've had a training session to think about how things have gone and how I felt about it and what it might mean and what I might do differently in future. So the reason that we've talked about reflection is because of the uncertainty in social work. It helps us to be prepared to respond to that uncertainty. We can't have a rule for every situation that we might encounter, because there's always going to be something new and that we haven't experienced before. So instead, we need to constantly learn from experiences and constantly turn those experiences into knowledge that we can apply to future situations. And one of the things I like that you talk about, Joe, is the courage that's required for that, that preparedness to encounter new things and to act with integrity in new situations. So we need that. We also need encouragement from others, I think, and we can model that kind of courage and encourage each other through our own reflection and through reflecting with other people. And a piece of research by Ying talks about the need for self-compassion in reflection, so we wouldn't just do it ourselves because we might become quite negative about our performance, but we do it in a constructive way, in a kind way with ourselves, but also with others to give that perspective. It can highlight things that we've got wrong and chances that we've missed and give us ideas for how to do things differently, but it also shows up the good work that we do. And it's really important to learn from our successes as well, learn from things that have worked well and turn all of our experiences into learning so that they can benefit our practice and ultimately the people that we're serving.
Yes, I think that it's really good to remind people that reflection is meant to be on successes as well as failures, because we need to replicate success, and we can only do that if we're actually very mindful of the way we achieved it. And reflection is very useful for that. I think sometimes in social work we tend to ponder more on the things we got wrong. But one of the things that you could do now, if you're listening to this and you've been interested, is you could start to think about your own default style and ask yourself this question: do I use intuition or analysis more in a crisis? And although this is a fairly crude methodology, and I'm not seeking to pigeonhole anybody, one of the ways that you can do this is just think about what you do with yourself in a crisis. Are you a person that tends to move faster, so quickly jump right to the solution, get everybody moving, be very, you know, like, right, this is what we need to do, you do that, so really relying on action straight away? Or are you somebody who sits back and goes, okay, there's a crisis, I just need to slow everything down, and I'm going to gather as many facts as I can so that I can make the right move? And neither of those styles are wrong, and both of them can be incredibly helpful, unless you rely on one too much. Because if you're just moving all the time and you're using instinct all the time, then you're not opening yourself to any other alternatives or possibilities or interpretations. And if you're slowing everything right down and you're overthinking and you're worried that the decision you make has to be right before you do anything, then you can slow down your responsiveness. And what good social work requires is enough of both, thoughtful action. That's what we're looking for the whole time. We need deliberate doers, people who are unafraid to act, unafraid to get things wrong, but also unafraid to think about what they're doing and challenge and question themselves. And so the last question I'd leave you with is this: when do I make time to recover and learn from my experiences? Am I able to see stopping and reflecting thoughtfully and processing my experiences as a valid and important part of my work? And what I hope, and I'm sure Jerry hopes, is that that's something that you're able to do, because the more you gift yourself with that, the more deliberate your practice becomes, and it'll be more effective for the people that you're trying to make a difference to as well.
Great. That's a really nice way to finish. Thanks, Jo.
Thanks for your time.